Last week, we talked about the Word of God, the Logos. And it wasn't recorded, so I'm going to touch a little bit on it so we can have it on tape. And then we go to John chapter 6. The Logos Word and the Rhema Word, both words are in fact the Word of God to us. Before we do so, let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning, and we ask, Lord, to teach us with that transforming word this morning that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, for the word, and the word there is Logos word, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And last week, we looked at Psalm 19, talking about the Logos Word, which is the Bible. This is what you got there. Maybe you got it on your pews. This is the whole counsel of God. This is his thoughts, his memoirs, his stories, everything in here. This is the Logos Word. And it is important for us to know it. To know it and come to the Word of God with honesty and sincerity. Because the Word of God, as it stands, is the voice of God to us. It is the way he communicates with us. We looked at last week that creations declare the glory of the Lord. But we need a language. We need verbs. We need an alphabet. We need words, and the word of the Lord is that language for us. And in chapter 19 of Psalm 19, say four things or few things about the word. It is the law, the statutes, the precepts or testimonies, the commandments, and the ordinances, and so on. Because the word, the Logos word, has the capacity to revive us. Do you know why does it have the capacity to revive us? The word actually is there to revive you, to revive me. We need to become alive. Renew us. It has that capacity. It has the capacity to bring wisdom to us. Who needs wisdom? I do. In the daily things of life, I need wisdom. It brings joy. Joy. What a powerful thing the Lord has given us. The word of the Lord is joyful, is much better than honeycomb ice cream. Remember last week? It is much better. And the word of the Lord brings light to our eyes, to our spiritual eyes, meaning we get to understand it. We get to wrestle with it. The Logos Word of God is his voice. And next week, when we look at the powerful Word, we look at Jesus, the Word. So just to make it clear, the Logos Word, it is the infallible Word of God. It doesn't go wrong, has been here for ages, has endured the test of time, and we have it. And it's so important to know it. Now, the Rhema word. Martin read for us this amazing verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the word there is not Logos, but Rhema. So how do we become, or how does the word become active and sharper in our lives? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe I'm the only one. But how does the word become active and sharper in our lives, in our congregations, in our daily walk with Jesus, in our works, in our families? How does the word able to become active, alive in us? Well, I think Paul referred to this as the word, as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema word. And the Rhema word is different than the logos word, because the rhema word is a word for a specific situations. Okay, it is specific. It speaks to us directly to our circumstances through the word of God or through illustrations. It is like heaven speaking to you directly through his words, through us. And it's usually, I will say this, I believe this, it is usually channeled by the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, or testimonies. But the rhema word will always be submitted to the logos word. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The rhema word will always submit to the Bible. And that is important for us to know. So how does the word become active? How does it become active? This is what I believe Jesus was teaching here. Because I'm going to read it again. It says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe me. And the word that Jesus uses as the word is the word rhema. Not logos, but it's the word rhema. In other words, it is the specific, inspired word that gives life to you and to me. Now, Jesus, as Martin Riley said, is speaking really hard words here, and people were deserting him. People were saying, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And at one point, Jesus says, are you going to leave me too? To the 12 disciples. He put people off by saying this. And some people chose to stay with him, and other people chose to go. In the whole chapter, I will encourage you to read it. It is about the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. But also, the bread of life is a metaphor for the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. The rhema word is very important for us. Let me explain to you in another way. Let me give an illustration. And this illustration comes from a book that I have read called Hearing God's Voice, Practical Help for Listening to Him and Recognizing His Voice. And it's written by James Grohl. James says he grew up in a rural community somewhere in the United States. And her mother, during summer times, during the harvest, she used to collect food and put it into jars and keep it. And she did this every year so that when the winter months will come, they will have the food from the summer. I don't know if you ever had done that, but I remember my mom doing something similar with us, collecting food, putting aside, storing up food for a later day when it was needed. And when the winter came, they were able to eat what mom has preserved and kept. James makes the connection. He says that through reading, studying, repeating, memorizing, praying and meditating on the written word, we accumulate an enormous resource in our minds and hearts that can be submitted to the Holy Spirit's transforming power. A quickening work of God occurs when the written logos become activated into a present tense spoken word. So it is so important that we get to read, that we get to memorize, that we get to talk about the word, that we can spend time in the word, because you're storing up riches in your heart. So that and when something happens, when you are in front of someone who needs a word, and even you don't want to speak about it, but something prompts you to say something, guess what is going to come out of your mouth? The Logos word. The word of the Lord. You see, this has happened to us, this has happened to me in many, many occasions. And Peter, in this particular instance, he was so struck by what Jesus was saying that he even said, well, Jesus asked him, do you want me to leave too? Do you? Jesus said to the 12, and Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the rhema word of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. For a specific situation, Jesus was saying specific words that penetrated the disciples' hearts so that Peter kind of spoke out. He always does. Impacted by the word. And he said, Lord, where are we going to go? You, Jesus, you Master, you Messiah, you have the rhema word for us of eternal life. It blew him away. It blew him away. It convinced him. Isn't that interesting? He was totally convinced. There's no one else but Jesus. No one else but the Messiah. No one else but him and him alone who can speak so powerfully and specific to Peter's heart. So that is how it gets activated. It gets activated by us taking it all in, meditating, reading, memorizing it. Some of you, I know some of you, you like walking or you like running. I went for a run this morning. I didn't last long. It was a short run. But I had the word on my ears. I got my phone, earplugs, and I ran with the word. And in between some worship music. We have now, today, the technology that you can have it on your car, you can have it at home. You know, you don't have to carry this when you are running because it will be like not appropriate. You can fall, you know, the Bible, you know, on your hands, like running. And you know, there are ways that you can actually do this, storing up for the time that you will need the word. And it's so appropriate, and it is so specific, and it is so refreshing. And Jesus did this. Jesus did this practically. I mean, let me take you to one of the things that Jesus did. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Right? Do you know that story? Yes? Everybody know it? All agree? Say aye. Aye. Okay, great. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Well, let me read to you what happened here. Bear in mind, this is what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the rhema word. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And the devil took him to the holy city and said to him, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Interesting, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word, rhema, word of God. What did he do? He used the word of God. He used the word of God three times to rebuke the enemy, to tell him where he belongs. If that was good for Jesus, it is good for me. If that is good or was good for Jesus, it is good for all of us. Jesus said, and he fought in many ways this battle in the wilderness. Mind you, he was pretty hungry. Okay? Pretty hungry. Now, I know you moms are going to go for a lovely meal. Okay? Later on. But imagine that he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days. So he was weak. He was very hungry. And the devil came and tempted him. And he fought temptation with what? With the word of the Lord. With a rhema word. And the devil left him. Every time we are tempted, don't say, poor me. Well, you can say that if you want to. But it's another way to say this. You say, Father, I've been tempted. Can you remind me of your word? Can you speak to me about your word? And you declare that word. And you say to the tempter, away from me, because I am no longer a slave. I am a child of God. You are, and we are, sons and daughters of the living God. His spirit is in you and in me. We have been adopted, grafted in to the family of God. That's what Romans is all about. So we take our stand, and Ephesians says that we are standing together with Christ in the highest places. Not down, not even higher, but together with Jesus in the highest places. Meaning that we too share authority, power, love, dominion with him. And just to finish off, some more practical application of how this rhema word is so important. It is so important because right now, as I stand before you, I have been doing ministry for most of my life. I have gone through many conferences and through many books and theological institutions. And I have kind of read the world outside my front door. I lived in North Belfast for 7 years, and you know, our friends are here from North Belfast. And let me tell you what the people outside are thinking. This is my interpretation. Every time we get to share the gospel, they're asking this question. Now, let me explain to you. This is a general one, but it's effective. Don't tell me what you believe, right? So they don't want to get into an argument. But does it work? Does it work? Does it work? Does your faith work? Does it work? Show me. If you show me that it works, I'm all yours. I'm all attentive. If it works, show me. And I've been together with our friends here and Denise as well, and some of you been in situations where we are put, you know, against the wall. In situations where sometimes somebody says something to us and you either sink, float, I don't know, but you're asking this, Lord, help, help, what am I going to say? And most of us, if you have digging the word, if you have stored resources, you have a word in season and timely for that person because you spent time with him. That, what you've spoken, is the rhema word. What I'm doing now is the rhema word. that speaks to your heart and to mine. Let me give you an example. This happened last year. The reason I didn't put a picture of myself there because I was really overweight. So I cut myself off the picture on purpose. Right? I was like huge, you know. But this is my journey. So I went to the gym. And for over, I think a year, I signed up for spin classes. Any spin classes here? Anybody? Be brave. Come on. Come on. Spin. Yeah, there we go. Back in the back. Come on. Spin classes. Spin classes first day and evening on Tuesday evening. I will never forget this. Never forget this spin class. So get changed. I'm thinking I can do this. You know, I'm determined to do this. A room full of Lycra women and old women and every kind of women in there. Right? One old lady said to me, "You're doing great, son, you're great." And she was going like really fast and going like, "Oh, thank you for the encouragement." Instead of signing up for 30 minutes, I signed up for 1 hour. 1 hour of spinning class. And the instructor, I love to hate him. He kind of grew up on me, you know. But I loved him, despite the fact that he made me suffer. So just imagine, I got into the last bicycle, 15 people, and the music loud, boom, 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 right? Come on, boys and girls, here we go. Fast, slow, come on. And then you have to turn it on to get it really hard, right? And then your cardio goes like up and down and you are sweating like mad. And I, like, after 10 minutes, I was crying out, like, "Oh my word, did I sign up for this? Like, oh my word, this is tough." And I closed my eyes, and I don't know what happened, but I endured the 1 hour. And the guy said, "Well done, guys, well done." I'm stuck on my bicycle. I'm stuck on my bicycle. My mind said, "Legs move." My left says, "No way." Right? This is what, really, literally, this is what happened. I had to get my hands, pull my leg out of, I was shaking by that stage. I was drinking with that stage, out of the bicycle, and I stood there. The guy said to me, "Are you okay?" "I'm fine. I'm fine. I got this." When I tried to walk, it didn't work. My legs did not respond. I was going like, so I have to kick my legs, just pumping out some blood in there. Suddenly, I made it to the changing room. And the guys were laughing. They all knew it, you know. Driving back home, well, I didn't drive back home. I drove to a coffee shop. But I couldn't use my leg when I was driving. I mean, my legs were like jelly. So the pedals were like, and I had to go about 30, 20 miles an hour. So I sat in that coffee shop, and I opened my Bible, and I was reading these scriptures. "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring you to fruition your every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith." It's nothing to do with the story, I thought, you know. Why am I reading this? And then I just pray this prayer. "Lord, if there's anyone here in this coffee shop that needs a word or that needs an encouragement, I will go." So I couldn't move. I had my coffee, and I prayed that prayer in that coffee shop. It usually happens to me every time in a coffee shop that the Lord puts someone before me. And this is what happened. As I began to pray, across from me, there was a lady, young mom actually, coloring a Bible. And I thought, that's interesting. I just prayed, and the Lord showed me that. And she's in that coffee shop, and I'm in here in pain, reading the scriptures, and looking at her. And I said, Lord, if you want me to speak to her, I will. But I couldn't move. So I drank my coffee, went to pay. I passed her. You know, she was sitting there. I passed her by, went to pay, and I walked to the door. As soon as I got to the door, I heard the voice, "Get back right now. Get back. Go and talk to her." And this is what I heard. "Remind her of her prophetic, artistic gift that I gave her." So I turned back. And she was coloring, trying to push my leg after another, trying to walk. And I said, "Excuse me, you may think that you're I'm crazy and I'm weird and I am those things. But I was praying and I saw your Bible, and I just want to say to you that this is, I think, what I feel the Lord is saying to you, that to remind you of your prophetic artistic gift that He gives you." She looked at me and she said, "I never come to this place. In fact, I am a mother of three, and one of my kids is at the dentist. I am so busy, so tired, I have these minutes to read my Bible and to color my Bible with drawings that I create as I read." And then she told me, "I used to be involved in dancing and arts in my church, but now I don't have time. What you just said means so much to me. Thank you." And I went back to the guy saying, "Yes, man of faith." You know, not really, because I was checking out. But you see, that was the Rhema word. And you heard what I read before. With this in mind, this is from 2 Thessalonians. "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may give you, sorry, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He might bring you to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every need prompted by faith." She needed to be reminded of her calling. It happened in a coffee shop. If it happens to me, it can happen to you. Because if the Holy Spirit is upon you, it's in you, it can happen to you. That is the Rhema word, activated by a Logos word, based on the Logos word, and delivered as I spoke to her. Friends, our time is up. But I would like to invite the group to come up, and as we sing our final hymn or song, let's stand and say to the Lord, "Lord, where are you going to take me this week? How are you going to use me this week?" And can I say one more thing? Although I couldn't walk that day, the biggest barrier was fear. Perfect love cast away fear. So my biggest battle was not my legs, were the fear that I had. Once I overcame that fear, I was able to bring that word. So we're going to pray as we finish off that we're not going to be people who are led by fear, but by the power of God, to remind ourselves that the gift that He has put in us, the spirit that is in us, is no spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. Did you see just what I did? I'm quoting the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's for all of us. That's the Rhema word.